Amen. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 8, if you got your Bibles, I hope you do this morning. All that you all that are sitting here in your seats, I want you to know that that altar is open this morning. It doesn't matter that the preacher is preaching, that the Holy Spirit of God woos you this morning, you need to come to the altar. That altar is open this morning for business. It's open this morning, and you can come to it and bring it to the Lord. And if you're ashamed, I'm going to tell you, He'll be ashamed of you one day. We don't need to be ashamed of the Lord. We need to bring our cares to Him. Let Him work with us and help us in our life. Luke chapter 8, we'll be breaking in about the fourth verse. If you got your place, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Luke chapter 8, verse 4, the Bible says, "And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city to speak by a parable, he spake to them in a parable." Listen. "A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as it was sprang up, it was withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, 'He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear.'" Let us pray. Father, I ask you right now in the name of Jesus, speak through these stammering lips. Feed us from heaven today, for we'll love you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. You can be seated. Here we see Jesus ministering in Galilee and throughout several cities, preaching about the kingdom of God and telling his disciples, speaking to them about a parable of a sower. And I thought this morning how fitting when the kids got up and give us this illustration, God confirmed in my spirit right then that we was on track this morning. He knows what we need. I want to preach a message this morning on sowing good seed. Amen. Sowing good seed. There are four ways to sow seed. I don't know if you know this or not. There's four spiritual ways to sow seed. Now, we've talked to some of the farmers in here. They tell you one specific way to sow a seed. But I want to speak to you this morning spiritually on how to sow seed. And you may ask, what is the seed? We see in verse 11 right over from that, he says, "Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God." That's what it is this morning. The seed is the word of God. Over in 2 Timothy 2:15, I've quoted it before and I'll quote it again. The Bible says, "To study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly," not wrongly, but rightly, not what Papa said or Mama believed or Daddy and Mommy believed, but I'm talking about rightly dividing. Now, you can't take my word for it. I'm going to preach you the Word of God, but you need to get in your Bible. You need to study for yourself. You need to find out if what the preacher is telling you is a fact or not. Now, a lot of times as I was a young Christian growing up, I would sit in the pew just like you, and I would follow the preacher, and I would read the scriptures as he read them. And when I left the church house, most of the time I'd either leave my Bible at the church, or I never looked at it again until next Sunday. I never looked at it till the following Sunday. But I'm going to tell you, if you want growth in your life, if you want good seed in your life, you must get in the Word of God and study the Word of God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the Word of truth. Do you realize as a pastor, as deacons, we have no choice. We've got to get in the Word of God. We got to dissect that thing. We got to look at that thing. We got to pray. We got to ask God to show us why. Because you need to know what thus saith the Word of God. I'm here this morning to preach to you the full counsel of the Word of God. I'm not here to add to it or take away. I'll fall under Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19, where he says, "Woe unto them that addeth or taketh away from the words of this prophecy." I'm not here this morning to take away or add to it, but I'm here this morning to tell you what thus saith the Word of God. We need to study to show ourselves approved unto God, not to anybody else this morning. If you are studying to try to learn Scripture to impress me or impress somebody else of what you know, you are wasting your time. Now, if we were studying for a college degree and trying to get a better position, yes, we need to study. We need to show our intelligence, and we need to be that place to where we can show that we have been well studied and well understood of what we're reading, and we'll try to impress those we work for. But I'm going to tell you this morning, God ain't looking to be impressed. He's looking for you to get down to the sincere meat of the Word and study the Word of God and find out what it says to you, that you may help somebody else along the way. We must be good stewards of God's Word. Now, I promise you this morning, I don't know everything that's in this book, but I know who does. I know the man that knows it all and wrote it all. Amen. And he can give me the inspiration through the Holy Spirit of God to speak to you and tell you what the Word of God says to us. And I'll tell you, this old book has been a blessing to me. I've had this old Bible for a long time. I've had to have it rebound once and redone several times, and it's fallen apart. But I'll tell you, it ain't the book and the ink and the pages that I'm looking at. I'm looking into it, amen. What thus saith the Word of God? It brings me life. It brings me joy. It's my hope. It's my answer. It's my direction. It's my GPS, amen, to the kingdom of God. I'll tell you what, we got these phones and we can put in an address and it'll send you to an open field somewhere. Have you ever done that? You put it in there and you're driving, you'll drive 20 miles and all of a sudden it'll bring you to an open field. And you're like, what is going on? This is supposed to know something. It's supposed to know where to send me. And you know, today our preachers are preaching so shallow and they're so involved in the worldly stuff, and the churches have become so worldly that they can't preach the deepness of God. They can't preach the meat of the Word. They can't give people something good to go on. They want to give you something easy and something good to hear. He said in the last days they'd heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. What does that mean, preacher? There'd be preachers get behind this sacred desk and try to preach you something that'll make you feel good. But I'll tell you this morning, I've come to preach you the Word of God. We must be good keepers of the Word of God today. Can I get an amen? It's important that we know what it says. I'll be the first to tell you this morning, I'm not a great scholar. I don't have fancy words. I can't say all these fancy phrases and make you feel warm and fuzzy all over. But I know when the Holy Spirit of God come by, amen, I know then what to tell you. And I can tell you my little old hillbilly speech and give you what the Bible says. Number one, we need to sow by the wayside. In verse 5, the Bible says a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. If you'll look right over on the page, over into verse 12, I'm glad that Jesus is giving our interpretation of this scripture this morning. Verse 12 says, "These by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and take away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." Matthew 7:6 says, "Give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast your pearls before the swine, lest the tempter listen, tempt them, and they'll fall." We don't need to cast our pearls, our goods, before the swine. We need to sow good seed even by the wayside. Wherever God sends you, you can sow good seed. Why? Because you're the sower. The main sower has made you his farmer. Can I use it in terminology that you can understand? We're farmers for the holy word of God. Okay? And he has given us good seed in our life. When we've come down to this old-fashioned altar and we have surrendered our life and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we are good farmers for the Lord. And he's given us good seed in our life. And he's given us a job to do. And we're to go out and sow seed everywhere we go. I didn't have time to go get none. I started to go get seed. And I started to start throwing it all over this church. And I thought Isabel and Dorothy would have a fit if I threw it all over this church. But I'd vacuum it up. But I started to go get seed. You better be glad I didn't have time, because I was going to throw seed everywhere. But could you imagine, Brother Todd, God has called you and called me to go out and sow seed. We have to go places we don't want to go sometimes. I sow seed in places I'd rather not sow seed. But God said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel and give them the full counsel of God and give them an answer of the reason, the hope that's within you when a man asks you a question. So we never know where God's going to send us. So we'll go by the wayside and we'll sow seed. And when we sow it by the wayside, there's people out there on the wayside that thought they were saved, and they're glad to receive it, but it falls by the wayside. A sower went out and sowed seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. This morning, you are receiving the word, but it'll be a surface seed to you. It won't go no farther. It'll fall by the wayside. Jesus said, those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. Do you believe that there's people that can sit right in a church house and think they're saved and they've never been saved? They hear the word. They're glad to hear the word. They like to see the preacher preach and get excited. And they give money, and they're faithful. They'll come every service, and they wear the clothing. They talk the talk. They look good on the outside, but inside, they're nothing. That's that seed that's been sown by the wayside. As soon as it's sown, the devil comes and gets it right up. Don't think about that. Think about this. And they're drawn away. As soon as it's sown, they're drawn away. Why? Because there's nothing there to accept that seed. You must be born again to receive the word of God. If you're here today and you're lost without God, and you've read the Bible and you say, I can't understand what the Bible says, it don't make any sense to me, I'm going to tell you right now, if you'll come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, all of a sudden it'll open up and the Bible will start making sense to you. But you can't understand it if you don't know what it is. Number two, verse 6 says, we sow on the rock, on some on the rocks. Some fell on the rocks, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. We can go right on over there in verse 13, right across the page. If you look at verse 13, the Bible says, and they on the rock are they which, when they hear and receive the word with joy, and these have no roots, which for a while believed in a time of temptation and fell away. Now, I believe there's some people come in, and the Holy Spirit does start trying to draw them, and they turn it away, and they turn it away, and they turn it away. Then they figure out one day, you know what, I'm going to go to church and get saved. How many has heard that before? I'll get saved. I'll get saved when I want to get saved. I've seen people come down to the altars, you know, with their head back, chewing bubble gum and laughing and going on and running down the altar with a whole bunch of other people and say, I got saved. I'm going to tell you right now, God knows the heart. The Bible teaches we're to come with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Broken heart, sorry for the person that you've been. A contrite spirit, wanting to make a change from the person that you are. And I'm telling you what, it ain't about chewing bubble gum and grinning from ear to ear. I was broke down like a shotgun when he called me and saved me. I believe there'll be true conviction if you're lost without God. If you're truly being wooed and drawn by the Holy Spirit, no, you ain't got to come screaming, crying, and hollering, "Oh, it's me." But that's exactly the way I felt. I felt like I was the only person in the building, and the preacher had pointed me out and told everybody what I'd done. Right there's the man that I'm preaching about. That's the way I felt. I don't know how you felt. I felt singled out. And I was like, oh my goodness. How did he know that was me? And the more he preached, the hotter my seat got. But when he got to that altar call, and he said, "Jesus stands with outstretched arms, asking you to let him come in." Those seeds that I had strewn by the wayside, those seeds that had been thrown on those rocks that didn't have no depth to them, all of a sudden they took root. They took root, and I ran to an old-fashioned altar and give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 7:6, the Bible says, "Give not that which is holy." He's talking about what is holy within you. You that have been saved by the Spirit of God, you have something holy within you, which is called the Holy Spirit of God. Don't go and cast that into the vomit of the world before men that would make fun of you. God, the Holy Spirit, will speak to you and tell you exactly when to open your mouth and when to close your mouth. I've been on the job site with some of the wickedest men I believe ever that stood on 2 feet. And I'd feel it inside of me raging like that. I'd be like, ooh, I want to tell them about Jesus. And I'd get that spirit in me, you know, wasn't the right one. I thought, bless the Lord, I'm going to go tell. I'm going to pull my spiritual sword. I'm going to fix killing people everywhere with the word of God. Here I go. You know, I'm ready to fight. And the Lord said, wait a minute. I said, Lord, I'm ready. He said, wait a minute. You're in the wrong frame of mind. You keep your mouth shut. I'm thinking, you're lucky. But you know, I get like that sometimes. I get these men, they'll huddle up and they tell dirty jokes and they make fun of church and they make fun of the man of God and they make fun of God's people. And boy, it wells it up in me, and I'm ready to flog somebody. I'm ready to stand up for my Lord. And the Lord's going, shh. But Lord, he's like, shh. Then somewhere along the way, I'd be just me and him. And that fella would be over by himself, and the Lord say, get him. Okay. I go over, and I don't go vengefully. I know that he ain't standing on a rock right now. He's standing on good ground. So I go over there, and I take that seed out, and I start sowing. I start speaking with a soft voice, saying, brother, I love you. But I want you to know that God loves you. He loves you more than I love you. I want to invite you to come to church. And all of a sudden that head will drop. I know I need to go. Well, won't you come this Sunday and let me invite you to come? He said, yeah, I'm sorry about that other day. But I was with them fellas and they was making fun of you. I'm sorry about that. I really am. I said, listen, don't try to repent to me. You talk to him. He just sent me over to tell you to invite you to church and that, won't you come and let me show you some people that will love you. Let me show you a church called Vickers Chapel that will love you. That will show you love unconditionally. Won't you come? And that's how we sow good seed on good ground. If you'll listen, if you'll get into a place with the Holy Spirit of God, walking with the Lord, you'll get in that place with him that you studied and asked God to show you, and you'll walk with him. He'll lead you in all ways of truth and righteousness, no matter where it's at. God will lead you and show you exactly where you need to go. But what happens is we get so involved in the world and the things of the world that we're drawn away because the own lust of our eye and the pride of life that's within us. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You're drawn away by that that you do on your own. If you'll resist the devil, where he talked about over in Ephesians, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Well, how do I do that when he shows up? Get thee behind me, Satan, in the name of Jesus. You know, a lot of times I ain't speaking out loud. I'm saying, mumbling under my breath, get thee behind me, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Use the name of Jesus. He cannot stand the name of Jesus. The Bible says the demons tremble and fear at the name of Jesus. And when you rebuke him, you may take two steps and there he is again. You rebuke him again. You prove to that devil who you are and what you are. I'm going to sow good seed whether you like it or not. And you keep on sowing. And you keep on sowing. You may sow over here and it ain't doing nothing but falling on by the wayside, falling on rocks and falling amongst the thorns. And the thorns are springing up. They're telling dirty jokes and drawing them in. All the good that you're doing is they're drawing them right in. Why? Because they're drawn away by the things of the world. You got to keep on sowing. Keep on sowing. You ever plant a garden? I've planted beans and you know, they get about that big and the deers come along and chop it right off. Just snip every one of them off. So I go dig it back up and I plant more seeds. And I pray over everyone that I plant. And they'll come up about that much. Get that big and the deers will chop them off again. I just keep on sowing the seed. Keep sowing. And the Lord must want to feed the deer. It's all I know. So we just keep on sowing. Do we get discouraged? Yes, we get discouraged. When people won't listen, they won't heed to the callings of God. But he's called us to be good stewards of the word. We can't let up. We got to continue sowing. Can I hear from you this morning? How come we can't sow? How come we ain't seeing our seeds grow? How come we ain't seeing people saved? 2 Corinthians 6:17. Wherefore come out from among the world and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Really? That's really what's going on. What have we traded the study of the Word of God for? Let me talk to you young folks. There's everything in the world to draw you from the will of God. I said there's everything to draw you from the will of God. They've taken the Bibles out of schools. They've taken the prayer out of school. They've taken anything it's got to do with out of school to do with God. And so now our children, when they go to school, they have to fight for the right to sit and pray over their lunch when they sit there at lunchtime. Most of them won't do it because they're afraid what's going to happen. We've not, as parents, given them enough word and sowed enough in good ground in their life to make them bold enough to stand for the Word of God and pray no matter what. I would love if the principal called me and said, we're going to expel Emily from school because every time lunchtime comes, she's praying. I said, well, bless God, expel her because next week when she comes back, she's going to be praying that much more. That's the kind of parent that I am. You mean you're trying to go against the school system? No, my first authority is the Word of God. I can't help it because they've let down the standard and won't follow the Word of God. This country was founded on the Word of God, and we as the people of God need not to be ashamed, but to stand up for what God first sowed into this country. Can I get a witness? That's what's happened to us. We have backed down and said, oh, no, I'm not going to stand up. I'm not going to do that. And that's why we're in the shape we're in. Young people, I'm telling you, you better get a hold of God in the days of your youth and do all you can. Because you're going to wake up one day and you're going to be an old person. And you're going to look back and say, boy, I wished I would have done more then. You're looking at a pastor, I'm glad I trusted the Lord when I was an 11-year-old child. It's been the hardest, easiest road I've ever traveled. Did that confuse you? It was hard, young people, when I did it my way. It was easy when I done it his way. When I put my wants to the side and followed him, it worked out. But every time I went to do what I wanted to do, it didn't seem to work out. But if I put him first in my life, if I sought him first in my life, all these other things seem to work out. You know how I figured that out? I went over to Matthew 6 and 33. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I found that out as a young man. If I'll put the Lord first in my life, I'll have the blessings of God on my life, and I will want for nothing. And I have found that to be true. I'm not a rich man or a wealthy man by no means. But I'll tell you one thing, I'm rich in the Lord. I'm rich in the Lord. I wouldn't trade everything the world's got for one second of what I feel in my heart. I love where I stand with God. And the devil does give us a hard time. He does try to bring us down. He does try to stumble us up. But all that makes me do is keep on throwing seed everywhere I can throw it. The devil said, you better not sow over there. That's ground he told you wouldn't grow on. I don't care. I do it in the name of Jesus. And I'll throw it over there. I'll go wherever he sends me. Some places it makes me a little uncomfortable. I got to go, but I go anyhow. If he'll send you, you ought to go. I could preach for another hour. I've got to try to come to a close. Let's look at the fourth one, sowing on good ground, verse 8. The Bible says, and others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried out. That's what the Bible said. I don't believe he whispered it out. I believe he cried out. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. Let him hear what? What thus saith the word of God. I hope you're hearing this morning. He gives that interpretation right over here in verse 15. He said, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, kept it and bring forth fruit with what? With patience. If you'll have patience and trust the Lord, there'll be good fruit come out of it. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light. As the children were talking about this morning in this pumpkin, you know, you can take a candle and you can stick it down in this thing and it'll shine light out, especially in dark, and it'll shine and it'll take over the whole room. He said, let your light so shine before men that they'll see your good works. Your good works. And glorify the Father, which is in heaven. That's what we're supposed to do. Did y'all realize that? That you've got good works in your life. You may not be a preacher, you may not be a singer, you may not be a Sunday school teacher, but you are a child of God. You are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you all know that this morning? Each and every one of you, male and female alike, you are a disciple for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to them. Tell them what the good news of the Lord is. I can't tell it like Brother Randy Fassler can. But I can tell you the way it happened to me. You know, I can't tell you like Brother Matt Reed. But I can tell you what happened to me. You may go to Brother Matt and he can tell you something, the way it happened to him. And it may touch you in a way that you can correspond with him. You and him are like mine. And it may touch your heart. And he sowed that seed. And God will give the increase where he sees fit because of his witness. God can use each one of us if we'll be good sowers of God's word. God told me to tell you this morning, he's looking for some good farmers to sow. We need to sow this morning. I want to see this church grow so much, we have to knock the walls out. How are we going to do that? We're going to have to be good sowers of God's word. Let your light so shine before men that they'll see your good works. Come on down to church. See what's going on down the church. Let our folks love on you down the church. I've been cast out. I've been cast down. Nobody loves me. Nobody wants me. Come on down to Vickers. Let us love on you and show you the word of God. Let us teach to you what thus saith the word of God. Let us preach the full counsel of God to you. That's how you be a good sower from the Lord. Can I hear from you this morning? God is looking for some people that will stand up and stand out and say, yes, I'll be the one to sow. I'll be the one to go. I'll be the one that'll stand for him. I'll sow the good seed. God loves you this morning. But we as his people have done this. That's what we've done. We've sat down on God. Oh, I thought the preacher's going to do it all. I thought Brother Greg was going to do it. I thought Brother Aaron would do it. I thought they would do it. I just come to listen. That's the problem. We need to be good sowers of the word. We need to be exhorters of the word. We need to lift praises unto him. When it comes time and you feel like God wants you to testify, I testify. I'd come into the house of the Lord and say, Lord, it's me. I'm so thankful, God, that you've saved me. Well, I don't do that, Brother Gay. You need to start. You need to be the first one. You need to be the one. You're the one holding the service back. You could be the one that the whole service is hinging on. Did y'all realize that? Really? Yes, really. God told me to take this word and sow it into you this morning and tell you he's looking for a few good men and women that'll stand up for the word of God. I wonder how long it's been since you stood up for the word. I don't like to be controversial. I don't want to cause trouble. I'm just not that way. Ain't you glad that Christ stood up for us and went to the cross of Calvary and gave the very best that he had? Could I tell you this morning, these pages, we receive them through blood. We received them through blood. They all should be read. It cost tremendously for you and I to receive this word this morning. How dare us sit back and not stand for God and love God and worship God and raise our hands and say amen for all the blood that was shed. So you and I could just hear the word of God. In foreign nations, they're smuggling pages of the word of God to people. And they'll get a page and they'll read that page and they'll hug that page and they'll hide that page because if the government finds out they got it, they'll kill them for it. And here we sit with Bibles in every pew. There's Bibles stuck in the back of the pews. We've got 5 or 6 of them at the house. 2 or 3 of them we ain't never even looked at, and we got them on every hand. We take it for granted what God's done for us. He sowed into America the word of God, and we've thrown it away for the things of the world. We've thrown it away. And God's told me to tell you that he loves you, but this cost something. It was a bloody cost. Church, we've got to pull together. We've got to tell people that Jesus is coming. I just preached a revival entitled The King is Coming. He's coming any moment now. He's coming. And for you that are here that's lost, this bloody message that I've preached to you today through this word of God is to tell you that he's coming. Are you sowing good seed? As we stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. I don't know who you are, whether you're saved or lost, but the Lord wants some folks to get real with him. We can't take our Sunday school to the next level. We can't take the church to the next level. We can't go to the next level if we don't get serious with God and say, Lord, let me be the one. I'll be the first one to sow, Lord. Let me sow the seed. I'll sow for you. I want to be the one. He loves you this morning. I've tried my best to preach you a message that God put up on my heart.